Tim Cook will take your baby.
Out to a delicious brunch.
That's the opening.
Hello and welcome to the CallCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfront Elijah. I'm here with the two cutest iFanboys I know.
Oh, yeah. You shouldn't.
Well, that's true. Buster Heine's with us. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Alex Excelsior Heath is with us. Oh, I love it when you join us.
Yes.
Welcome to the show, guys. And before I say anything else, look how good of a host I'm being. I'm going to mention right up front, this show is sponsored by the fine folks at DigiDNA.net, makers of DiscAid. Do you like how well I enunciated that? DiscAid 6.
Yeah, because remember that last time you
mispronounced
it? No, I
don't. Nope, I don't.
That was awesome.
I don't know what you're talking about because I'm talking about DiscAid 6.
Your manhood needs aid.
Does your manhood need aid? Then you probably shouldn't get DiscAid because that's for discs. The best way to transfer videos, documents, and other information on and off your iDevices with ease. DiscAid allows you to download your voicemails, call logs, photos, videos, anything right to your computer, all via Wi-Fi, all without long iTunes syncing. You know, I'm going to tell you guys a little bit more about DiscAid 6 later in the show, but if you want to try it, a lot of its basic features are free to use. Head over to digidna.net, download it. I heard Tim Cook is a major fan
of DiscAid
6. Yeah.
Dang.
Yeah, he's pretty into it. Oh, and I should also mention, they just localized it into a bunch of different languages. So if you habla español, it's now available in Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Portuguese, Italian, German, Korean, Japanese, or even French.
No Filipino, though.
I don't think Filipino is one of them. You know, I like how they said, or even French. Like, if you speak French, we even made it available to you. We got so much great stuff to talk about on the show today. If you guys are following me on Twitter, which I would recommend following me. I'm at Airfon, and Alex is Alex E. Heath. Buster's BST3R. Bring that up because we're going to have a lot of major news come up here in the next 2 months.
We are?
Oh, yeah.
Dude, huge newses.
Huge newses
Tons
are coming. So,
I missed the memo. I got Scoop City coming, Alex.
Do you?
Yeah. No, I don't.
Are you referring to the ice cream podcast we're going to be doing, Scoop City?
Oh, I can't wait.
I have a pretty fun feature I'm working on for game emulation.
Oh, nice.
Oh.
Like
retro Nintendo emulation on the Mac and iOS devices.
That's actually pretty cool. Okay, at first I was like, this is about to get really boring. But then you saved it.
Like,
you piqued my interest.
No, I'm saying playing Mario Kart on your freaking Mac.
Oh, that would be great. Is there any way to do co-op?
Yes.
Really?
There's a lot of cool stuff. It's like this underground world I'm discovering.
Wow. When can we expect such piece?
Should be definitely within the month.
I want to see it within weeks. The next week.
That's not true.
You need to push yourself,
it's,
Alex.
It's mere hours till publishing.
Yeah.
Alex is going to have this out. Hey, speaking of video games, I don't want to talk a ton about this, but Xbox has just announced... Finally, after I think what is 8 years now, a new console on the horizon. I know this is a Mac show, and you guys are like, oh, Airfon, don't talk about Xbox, but I'm a huge Xbox fan.
I use Xbox.
Buster's a huge Xbox fan. Alex?
I don't have an Xbox, but I enjoy it from time to time.
You'd get down on some Xbox.
Yeah, you probably would love it.
Yeah.
So okay. May 21st.
For a tax write-off.
Yeah, okay. You might not want to say that on the recording.
I'm sorry.
He's like, yeah, I might buy one of those without paying sales tax and then write it off on my taxes. I might do
that blank check I sent.
May 21st, Xbox is having a live event at 10 a.m. in the morning, Seattle time, that's Pacific time, and they're going to be unveiling their new hardware. I am so excited about this. I'm so excited about this. But you know what I'm more excited about?
What?
What?
Discade?
Discade 6, yes. But the fact that Tim Cook is having what is essentially a contest to win a cup of coffee with him. And if I can just raise $100,000.
Is it at $100,000 now?
It's already at
$155,000.
No, already?
Yeah, $155,000.
Who's the top bidder?
Sebastian.
Steve Ballmer?
S-S-B-L-L-M-E-R.
The Bomb Dog.
Bomb Dog 9000.
Wouldn't that be so great if he's the one that bid on it? So Tim Cook is having a charity auction, essentially, or giving away a prize for a charity auction. Do you know what it's called, Buster? Who wrote this article?
I did.
Tell me about it.
So Tim Cook, he's having an auction where he's giving away like 30 minutes to an hour of his time where you can drink coffee with him at Apple's headquarters in Cupertino. Proceeds go to benefit the RFK Center for Justice and Human Rights. And it started off this morning. I think the opening bids were just a couple hundred dollars.
They were really low because I remember when you showed it or when you tweeted about it.
It was like $5,000.
It was nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the estimated value is $50,000, but right now the current bid is for $155,000.
Oh my gosh. This is for a 30 to 60 minute meeting at Apple with Tim Cook for coffee. And he's obviously not going to reveal any top secrets to you.
Right. But so it's you and one other person gets to go. You got to get, strip searched first before you get to take Tim's
by
hand.
Tim Cook. Yeah. I heard Tim Cook was going to perform that himself.
Hey, y'all, it's time for the strip search.
I'm going to need you to go ahead and drop them, y'all.
Still got a Nike Fuel Band
who's
on.
Who's got my rubber gloves?
Just leave your Nike Fuel Band on. That's it. I like the Nike Fuel Band.
Ooh.
Oh. Yeah, so it's going to be there's 20 days left in the auction, so who knows how much is going to
go. Oh, my gosh. I know. So crazy. Actually, people were tweeting at me. And they were saying, oh, you got to do a Kickstarter for this, right? You got to do a Kickstarter. And actually, I was thinking maybe I should do a Kickstarter. It's 50 grand. The money's going to go to a charity, right, if we win. But then within mere moments, it shot up to 100,000. And I was like, let's be honest. No one's going to give me $100,000.
Although that's a good idea. What if we raised $1 million for you and me to go sit with Tim Cook and talk with him for an hour? I would just bug the crap out of him, man. I would just annoy him.
Well, sure they would totally throw us out if we did.
They probably
anything.
Would. I would love him.
Well, somebody was asking me what I would ask him if I got to meet with him. And I was like, I honestly don't know. I'd have to think about that. But I would just enjoy his presence. Yeah. And I'd probably try to get him to say something for the cult cast. Maybe do
I just
intro.
Talk about Alabama. Or isn't he from Alabama?
Is he?
He's from the South somewhere.
He's from the South. Alabama. Is he from Alabama? Okay.
Right. That's why you do your voice like that, right?
Yeah, of course. Uh-huh. By the way, for the record, I love Southern people. Some people think I'm making fun of them. I'm not. I love you. Southern people.
Bad on accents.
I'm going to open your arms and picture me hugging you. What?
Isn't Bill Clinton, like an entire day with Bill Clinton, lower on the list as far as how many people are bidding right now on that site?
That would be my guess. Oh, is that actually something that's happening?
No, like it's like true. Like built like an entire day with the former president of the United States is worth less than 30 minutes with Tim Cook.
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
Excuse me. Yeah, but Clinton had his heyday. This is Cook's time. Cook's time to shine. So yeah, bid on that if you have $150,000. Hey, and also Apple finally announced WWDC 2013. It's kicking off on June 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Tickets are going on sale by the time you hear this, Thursday at 10 a.m. They'll probably already be sold out. They'll probably sell out in mere moments. Last year was 2 hours, right?
Yeah, I'm going to say 15 minutes tops this year, man.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. Because they sold out so fast last
finally
year.
Finally announced it. People were starting to get itchy.
And then I think they never usually have a website up for it in advance. They usually just announce it and tickets are on sale.
Mm-hmm.
And last year it sold out in 2 hours. So I think this year they put the site up a day in advance to like give people notice so they could buy tickets. And that's actually going to sell even more tickets and make it more crazy, I think.
Yeah, you're probably right. Because people actually have advance notice. And so the East Coast won't be caught off guard like they were last year.
The West Coast.
I think they did this. didn't they do this because last year the international developers got screwed because they had no idea that it was coming out and they were like asleep and half, you know, like half of the world was asleep when Apple.
Yeah, like West Coast and then all of foreign developers were all screwed. Like,
so like this time people are mad because they're pre-announcing it, which means that, you know, Apple's website always stays up when stuff like this happens.
And right.
So what will happen is their website will inevitably crash. Mm-hmm. People won't be able to order tickets and it will all be gone within like the first, 10 minutes. And there will still be a lot of pissed people, even though they tried to, brace people.
I think they sell 10,000 tickets and that's it's not enough anymore. Which I think, Moscone West, they can fit a lot more people in there, though, right?
I think so, yeah. It's a pretty big place. So
I wonder why they don't just sell more tickets or have, like, two WWDCs,
Well, here's the good news. For those people that end up not going for whatever reason, maybe you can't afford the $1,600 tickets, they're going to be broadcasting the entire thing online so that you can watch all of the classes. And from what I've read,
if you're a registered developer
and from what I've read, those classes are going to be available very quickly after they're had at Moscone West.
Right.
So that's huge. People just kind of probably nod when they hear that. They're like, oh, that's cool. But imagine the amount of money and time and work that goes into creating all those broadcasts and then pumping them out that fast. It's pretty incredible.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. You can do that if you can't end up going.
And only previously registered developers can get tickets tomorrow. So if you sign up for a developer account after the announcement was made this morning, you can't get in.
Oh, really?
And they are giving out how many student scholarships, Buster?
150.
150 tickets, which, that's a pretty good deal. $1,500 to 150 students under 18 who are making sweet apps.
That's pretty awesome. I love that they're doing that, right?
Because I know I saw somebody I follow on Twitter who's a software engineer at Apple actually right now, and he said that before working at Apple, he came to WWDC 3 times as a student developer because of the student scholarship, and that's how he ended up getting a job at Apple.
Yeah, wow. I bet not enough people apply to it. I mean, 150 slots, you have a pretty good chance of getting
think about it. Apple's going to have 1,500 of its engineers all in one place available the one time each year that they're available to answer your questions and give you ideas. And I mean, you'll make connections that will last you a lifetime as far as your career is concerned.
Swing. Yeah. That's what I have to say about that. That was a Wayne's World reference.
Buster,
guys.
And I will be there in the parking lot.
Selling lemonade.
Watching you as you come in.
Hey, God, not creepy at all. I'm going to have,
I want to read you guys this. I mentioned before that it feels like it's just been forever since we've had any major Apple news to talk about.
Yeah, and it's the longest drought ever.
It has, and now April, I feel validated.
It's April 24th. There's been no new product announcements this year.
Our own John Brownlee wrote this about WWDC. When WWDC finally rolls around, it will have been 230 days since the last Apple event. The launch of the iPad mini, the fourth gen iPad, and the new iMac, that's pretty much unprecedented, almost double the previous delay between the MacBook Air and iPad 2, which was 132 days. It's been forever since they have announced anything or had an event. It just feels different now, doesn't it? Because we were on such a frantic pace where they just kept having all these events and releasing all these new products.
The fall and the winter last year were just nuts. I mean, they revamped like every product they sell.
Yeah, literally every product got like redesigned,
which makes sense now because you see they were building up to this drought period,
Right.
And it makes sense that they updated the iPad. People were pissed that they, released the fourth gen iPad as kind of this really incremental update only like 6 months into the release cycle. Well, it's because they're going to wait and not do the iPad event like they normally do at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it kind of seems like everything is just going to be dumped on us next year.
Yeah.
The exciting thing about WWDC, though, even if you're not a developer, is we're finally going to hear about iOS 7. So I think they're going to unveil everything. I'm so excited about this. I'm excited to hear about the next version of OS 10. They're going to reveal all that stuff. Phil Schiller, he got super excited when he was telling everyone about this. He ripped his shirt off and he's like, "You're going to know about iOS 7. And everyone started cheering. It was a
OS 10 Cougar.
OS 10 Cougar. And just his shirt just ripped right off his body.
The icon will be Demi Moore's face.
It took me a second to get that.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool.
Steve Jobs. There's the connection.
Yeah, there's the connection. Sorry, it took me a few links in my brain to make that connection.
That's right. I was thinking of that one all
day. That's good, though. That's a good one. So we're finally going to actually hear some more about both those things. I'm really excited, particularly about iOS 7. I know we've been talking about it a lot, but we really don't know that much about it. Just that Johnny Ive is going to have his fingerprints, his beautiful, totally oilless British fingerprints all over that.
You know what I think?
What? What do you think?
About iOS 7?
What?
Well, I was actually talking to, for an article coming up, hopefully, I think tomorrow.
Dude, you're all about plugging your articles this episode.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to the guy that brought chat heads to the iPhone, the guy that brought them to like all of iOS, the jailbreak guy.
Oh, okay.
And because his tweak's coming out Friday. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how Apple built this thing into iOS 6 called Remote View.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this interesting protocol technology that allows apps to communicate in ways that they couldn't before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really being used, but it's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he was trying to use to make his tweak. But basically what it could essentially allow for is, say, like the camera app to have an Instagram remote view inside where you can apply – where you can upload directly to Instagram within the stock camera app, and Apple could tie those two together pretty cleanly. And so he thinks that iOS is really going towards app intercommunication. Like, they're really doing some stuff with services to make apps talk to each other. And like GarageBand just got updated with audio bus support, which allows iOS apps to send audio to one another, which is something they would have never done before. But that's something that was actually released in an update about a month ago. And that's actually more significant, this developer believes, than many are letting on, because it's kind of hinting at this app intercommunication. So maybe more, you know, desktop OS type ways of communicating, where you don't have these like sandboxed environments where apps can't talk to one another. And so that I would be really excited if that was a huge part of iOS 7, because I think there is a way better way that apps could communicate.
Interesting. Hey, we need to take a quick break, but any guesses on what that crazy Coldplay-looking invite icon is in regards to?
It just means Coldplay's going to
be there.
I can't wait.
Oh, yeah. Cool. They've been there before, haven't they?
Oh, yeah. They play. Yeah, they played at Steve Jobs' funeral. At
John Mayer.
His memorial.
John Mayer's going to be there.
John Mayer.
I hope he's wearing that cool hat that he always wears nowadays.
That country hat?
that old-time country hat?
I'm seeing him in concert this summer.
Are you?
Yeah, I am.
I hope he got his larynx fixed.
Yeah.
He hasn't toured in a long time.
I know. It's been like 2 years.
Oh, man. Okay, but before we head any more into this tangent, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, Buster.
Hey, man.
Konnichiwa.
Hey.
Yeah, that's Japanese. And I know you don't speak Japanese, but you know who speaks Japanese now? Discade 6.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this fantastic software is now available in Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Portuguese, Italian, German, Korean, Japanese, or even French, if you can believe it.
Even French.
And of course, Discade is the best way to transfer videos, documents, and other information on and off your iDevices with ease. You can download your voicemails, call logs, photos, videos, anything right to your computer, all via Wi-Fi, all without long iTunes syncing. But you know what else you can do? It'll let you transfer videos from one iOS device to another. You can easily upload videos from your Mac to your iOS device. You could transfer stuff to another PC if you'd like. Let's say you want to back up your music collection from your iPhone and then restore it onto a PC you have at work. So super easy to do with Discade 6. Plus, I bet you didn't know this, not only can you transfer photos using Discade 6, but you can even access your photo stream photos and download those to your Mac. So I want to urge everyone to go give Discade 6 a shot. Such a useful application. Go to digitdna.net, download it. A lot of its basic features are free to use forever, so you have nothing to lose. And then if you like it, you can buy a license, which is going to unlock the advanced features of Discade 6. Use the code THECULTCAST at checkout. You're going to save 30% off your order. You're going to be so happy. You're going to come to me and you're going to say, Arafon, you told me about Disc Gate 6. I bought it. Arigato, which I'm pretty sure means thank you in Japanese. Head over to DigiDNA.net. That's DigiDNA.net. I want to thank those guys for sponsoring the show.
The show?
Sponsoring the show. Yeah. Arigato.
Later.
That'd be
wait, it's not goodbye.
I gotta look this up now. Arigato means, I think it means goodbye.
I'm pretty, no. Dario, no more arigato means thank you, man.
And we're back! Hello. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Cultcast. Let's talk about Apple financials. Now, before you hit pause and start skipping ahead by 20-second intervals, we're going to try and make this as interesting as possible. So, Tim Cook said a lot of great stuff about Apple's business, which is personally why I'm always interested in the financial calls. I don't care how many billions and trillions they made, although I think it's somewhat interesting. I'm more interested in the product stuff. So let's definitely talk about the numbers, though. Let's just give a higher-level overview. Apple made all the money last quarter, but they didn't make all the profit. So they're making more money than ever, but their profit has actually been dropping. And I was looking at the bar graph, the lovely bar graph that John Brownlee put on Cult-O-Mac, and it's dropped a lot. Like I would say like it's probably not a fourth, but it looks like a fourth on a bar graph. Any ideas why? Is it really? Okay. Yeah, any idea why their profit's taking a plunge?
I think it's just their margins are just not as good. Like they're not able – their profit margins on what they're selling are not as – like from what all I can gather, 2012 was a pretty – and Tim Cook even said this to an extent that 2012 was kind of an incredible year in terms of the stars aligning for Apple to be able to have such incredible profits because, I mean, I guess, you know, component prices were the lowest they've ever been. Their profit margins were the highest they've ever been. I mean, it was just all of these things together made for a really great year, and we're probably not going to get a year like that again for a long time.
I thought was really interesting, though, is quarter for quarter, their Mac sales have essentially stayed exactly the same. So they're not selling any more Macs than they used to.
Yeah, kind of plateaued for sure. The iPad is the only thing that's really booming. The iPad is like doubling in growth. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's insane.
So think about this then. Like if the iPad keeps growing and people realize that maybe they don't need a full-fledged notebook computer to, you know, have in their daily lives and they just get iPads. Can you guys foresee a time in 5 years, maybe 10 years, where Apple just says, we're not going to make laptops anymore. No one's buying them.
I don't know about
this. I mean, eventually, I guess you have to get to that point, but I don't think that's going to come for a long time.
It's going to take a couple.
I mean, you're talking like 15 years, I think, right?
Yeah. Definitely. It's going to take several breakthroughs in technology before something like that's possible. As far as like the mass everybody being able to move away from what we consider traditional desktop computing.
I mean, I love my MacBook and I hope they don't stop making these kinds of things because I like having the keyboard and all that stuff. And I think for content creators, you have to have a notebook, at least for now. But I mean, only selling 4 million Macs, I'm sure they have to have some type of production number that makes it so that it's worthwhile for them. You know, like they pretty much all but stopped making the Mac Pros, although I think we think that an update's coming, right?
An update is coming.
Yeah. So, but it's been years. It's been far too long.
I think they care about the Mac more than you think.
I hope you're right.
Mac has always been a cornerstone of their business, and because without Macs, you would not have iOS apps.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Macs are like the backbone of what they do, even though iPhones and iPads are their bread and butter.
Saying until you can program an iOS app on an iPhone, you're probably not going to have the death of a Mac.
Yeah, until developers are embracing ways to do that. Because I think you can actually do that because that is possible, but it's not good and you can't do everything. So until developers are embracing it as something that everyone uses and it's just like the standard, then yeah.
Well, Apple would need to have an SDK on the iPhone. So
iOS would have to mature into something completely different. So
yeah,
I don't know. I really don't see them going Macs going away anytime soon.
All right,
I think like Mr. says, we're looking at like 15 years out, easy.
Okay. I'll go with that. That makes me happy. Help me analyze this, cute iFanboys. Tim Cook, when asked about the iPhone 5, said this. Oh, I'm sorry, about a larger screened iPhone 5. I was going to do it in his accent, but that's only going to make me laugh. My view continues to be that iPhone 5 has the absolute best display in the industry, y'all. We always strive to create the very best display for our customers. Some customers value large screen sizes. Others value factors such as resolution, white balance, color portability, clarity, blah, 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 blah. Our competitors have made some significant trade-offs in areas to make bigger screen devices. We will not ship a larger display iPhone while these trade-offs exist. My takeaway, I guarantee we're going to make a 5-inch iPhone, y'all. It's only a matter of time. What do you think, Alex? Or Buster, sorry. That was Buster. Buster, what?
I mean, I would eventually the matter of time. I mean, eventually, like, the display is going to take up the entire front surface of the device, and that's going to be like 5 inches. So I don't think Apple's going to keep building like those humongous devices because they're just huge. But as like battery life catches up and the design of the hardware is small enough, they'll have those bigger displays.
But initially we were hearing from Apple that, oh, well, this is the ideal screen size. You know,
I think what they mean ideal screen size, but I think what they really mean is like, this is the ideal device size. Like, it should be about this size. You know, we'd love it for it to be thinner. You know,
Apple. This is what Apple has always said about screen size, like over and over during earnings calls, because this question is asked at every earnings call. And Tim Cook and Phil Schiller has actually said it in different venues, but they always judge based on how comfortable it is to hold in one hand, because they really believe that the iPhone is a device that you want to be able to use in one hand, because it's a mobile device. You pull it out of your pocket, you're doing something else. That's what it's designed to do. They believe that a larger screen, you can't effectively use it with one hand. You can't reach all corners of the screen with one hand. And so until that's possible, they've made that kind of clear that that's their litmus test for device size.
I don't know. Do you guys buy that? I mean, I've heard that argument before. Do you really think people are like, I got to be able to use this with one hand?
Well, I mean, have you ever felt like how awkward it is with like a... my uncle came over like a couple weeks ago, and he had like a Samsung Galaxy Note 2, and it was so big. Like, he uses it as his regular phone, but you know, it seemed like such a big and unwieldy device, especially for someone that age. They're just, you know, kind of like clumsy with it. And with the iPhone, I don't know. It's a more elegant solution than that.
I would really love to have a bigger screen phone. I think for me, the trade-off to give up being able to use it one hand, first of all, I have monster man hands. So I'm just going to put this out there. I could handle a bigger phone because I have bigger hands. That's just the way I'm built, and I'm not ashamed of that. In fact, I'm kind of proud of it. So if they put out a 5, 6, maybe even 7-inch iPhone, I'd buy it, no problem.
Why don't you just use
you guys
like
with the smaller hands? That's okay. You know, we can get you an iPhone mini.
7-inch iPhone is an iPad mini.
Dude, but did you see that Samsung Mega phone that they announced a few days ago? Or it's like 2 weeks ago?
I read about this, but how big was the actual screen?
Dude, it was like 6.2 inches or something. And the Galaxy Note 2 is like 5.4, man. Like... just like gigantic.
Like, their philosophy is like, let's just make a bunch of crap and throw it at the wall and we'll see.
Yeah, that's
what people
buy.
That's their strategy. Is let's make a phone, let's make it in 7 different sizes and see which one's popular, and then make a new one in like 12 different sizes.
Well, their strategy is also try to slander their competitors' products, which we're going to talk about. I don't want to actually
segue.
I don't want to go into that quite yet, but we are going to talk about this.
Come on, you just used it.
No. I got to bring these up first.
How rare is that?
That's a tease. I'm tickling you with my feather.
I'm not laughing.
You feel that tickle?
No.
Okay, well, think about it. Let's talk about product pipeline. Tim Cook was asked about product pipeline, and he said, I'm just saying we've got some really great stuff coming out this fall and all across 2014. And then he specifically talked about a new product category. Did he not? What do you think?
Are we talking about Gene Munster?
No, we're talking about Tim Cook.
We're talking about Tim Cook, y'all.
Gene Munster was like, Apple TV, please.
You said that categories, and like Gene Munster got his chance to like ask his question on the earnings call, and he was super excited.
You were asking if that was Gene Munster who asked him about that.
Right.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Alex.
When Gene Munster asked his question, Tim Cook was literally like, Gene.
Gene?
And then he took like a 5-second pause.
just trying to contain how annoyed he is.
So yeah. Like you could tell he wanted to flip a table. He was like, Gene.
Munster's just like, oh, did you say that you're going to be entering new categories? Is that going to happen this year? And like Tim Cook was just like I can't believe you, man.
I don't think he answered one. He just said Gene.
No, he didn't. He didn't really answer the question. He said like that's. He said something like that's not what I said or something like that. But he pretty much dismissed Gene Munster. It was awesome.
So, 2014 new product categories. I watch TV. You think that's what we're talking about here?
I don't think Apple's going to make a television. I'm not so set on it anymore.
Oh, really? Now you're thinking that you'll never see one.
I don't know. I mean, maybe eventually, but
referring to that iBeetle.
Yeah, the iBeetle is going to be huge.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I just want to admit publicly, I'm a little embarrassed.
Were you raving it?
No, I was not raving it. So Volkswagen came out and they had this thing called the iBeetle. And in my mind, because I've talked about this before, I want something like this, you know, like a car that is, you know, Apple. I don't want to say integrated because that's the wrong word. I want it to be more than just integrated. You know, like I want it to be industrially designed well and have all these features built in. And I always think how terrible GPS systems and all this car tech is. It looks like crap. Uh-huh. It is crap. And how awesome it would be to have your phone be like the center of this car. So I was like, oh, iBeetle. My brain immediately went to, oh my gosh, they're actually doing this thing that I want. I've wanted all this time. They're going to have AirPlay support for your stereo. And then I read the article, and it's like basically like a phone dock and an app. and they're calling it the iBeetle.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, I'm embarrassed also that I said anything nice about it.
I'm embarrassed for you.
I just want to put that out there. Let's talk about Samsung now. Since I tickled you.
Or as
you.
Tim Cook calls it, Samsung.
Yeah, he does. He pronounces it so
Is he one of those
weird,
guys who like goes out of his way to like be like...
He was
totally
like, our competitors,
it.
Samsung.
Samsung.
Well, I bet you, because he's had so many meetings with the CEO of Samsung in their war negotiations. There, he's probably like, they've told him, no, you're going to say it, Samsung, like, when you talk about us.
You say Samsung.
Samsung.
Kind of like...
And then Tim Cook's like, I will steal your children.
Was it Steve? Steve Ballmer says Nokia instead of Nokia. Yeah. You know.
Nokia, yeah. Well, he's always thinking about food. So that's why he does that.
Is that a food?
Like Nokia? Yeah, Nokia, never mind. That joke.
Joke didn't work, man.
Yeah, it crashed. Kamikaze! Banzai! Into the ocean. That's where we should leave that one. Let's talk about Samsung and their dirty marketing tricks. Because I've been reading lately that they have been spending a ginormous amount of money, not just on marketing, but specifically to slander Apple in these really if these rumors are true, despicable ways. I think
despicable.
This goes way beyond competition. Because, you know, those commercials they made that were totally absurd, talking about how all the young people really love Samsung, even though all the studies keep showing that every young person wants an iPhone, or most of them do.
Yeah.
But that they're doing things like going into blogs that talk about Apple products and paying people to talk poorly about Apple products, allegedly, so I don't get sued by Samsung.
I wonder if they're allegedly like websites like Cult of Mac, stuff like that.
That's what I'm starting to wonder, right? And I was reading this article by this guy, and I wrote down his name, but I can't remember. I don't have it here in front of me. He's a journalist, and he was talking about this phenomenon, and then he noticed later that a lot of the comments because this thread had kind of blown up, right? People were making, you know how it is.
Yeah. This is Philip Elmer DeWitt on the Fortune Tech.
Was that who it was? Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
What did he do?
So, because this comment thread is filling up with all these just insane comments, right? You know, people start getting into like PC, Apple, like conflicts on the internet. They just make the most ridiculous comments. So he noticed that even the most ridiculous comments that were pro Samsung would get voted up, but anything negative that was said about Samsung would get voted down. And it was like across the board, every single one. Yeah. Had that applied to it. So I'm like, well, who's doing that? You know? Like, that's crazy.
I wrote this story, and he has a weekend column, and he does some really great Apple analysis on a regular basis. But he, on a Saturday afternoon, he had called out Samsung. For some reports that in some other countries, Samsung had hired a PR firm and to defame other companies. And then in Taiwan, Samsung actually admitted to paying college students to post troll comments about HTC, one of their big competitors in that area. And so they admitted to doing this type of behavior already. And then so he was questioning that. And then that story is the one that got like 400 comments within like 12 hours, and then all the downvotes came at one time. It was during Sunday afternoon, and then he wrote a follow up saying, "Oh, is Samsung taking notice?" And I mean, it was kind of crazy the way he left no room for argument that was the case.
Well, let's just assume that it's true for the sake of discussion. And that Samsung is paying people to go in and troll and comment and make, you know, ridiculous claims about Apple devices. Am I overreacting, or is this just downright despicable?
No, I mean, you always wonder, where do like trolls come from on forums and stuff like that? Maybe everybody's just paid by Samsung. All trolls are paid by Samsung.
They're all attacking Culta Mac for some reason, though, a lot.
I don't get it.
Samsung must really hate Culta Mac. Especially posts by John Brownlee.
I know.
Samsung really, really hate John Brownlee. I don't know. I feel like they should take that ginormous budget that they have, and instead of spending it to defame Apple, just make a product that people want. Dude. I mean, is that so hard, right? Let your product be the marketing, y'all.
They've been spending so much on marketing, too. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. I don't understand. Why can you not, instead of making a product that only some people want, take that extra money and make a killer product that everybody wants? Make a phone that's really great, I'm going to use it, and I'm going to tell my friend about it, and my friend's going to see it, and then they're going to want one, and that's how ideas spread, right?
I mean, easier said than done, but yeah. I mean, just take that extra money and just go in and make a phone that's better than the iPhone.
I guess having the money doesn't really guarantee.
Yeah, it doesn't help you, like, you know, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we should probably wrap it up with an iTunes review, right? Buster, you had a great one queued up.
Yeah, thanks for the iTunes reviews.
So let me just mention, we have a ton of really great iTunes reviews. Yeah, if you really love our show enough to take the time and effort to go leave us a 5-star iTunes review, thank you. That helps us. And it gives us a better position with iTunes, which is great.
But if your effort is not going to result in 5 stars, then don't bother.
I mean, if you got a 1-star, take that somewhere.
There's a great podcast called The Verge.
Well, that's what we're known at as on iTunes. If you're really upset,
you want a 1.
Take that over there.
We're never going to get anybody from The Verge on this show.
The people from The Verge. We love the guys from The Verge. We love the guys from The Verge. That's why we bust their chops a little bit. But hey, Buster, let's hear that iTunes review.
All right, this is a beautiful review from JN.
I love these creative ones, yeah.
All right, I'm just going to go read the whole thing.
Okay, please.
If you want old, monotonous men having conversations where you can't tell if they're talking about tech or about their colonoscopies, look elsewhere.
This is this one. I read this one already. Okay, keep going.
I only listen to podcasts these days, and this is my most look forward to podcast each week. These guys are so entertaining that I actually had to rewind them so I could listen to the advertisement again a few weeks ago. Yes, the ad. Given by none other than Tim Cook.
Oh, I can't believe Tim Cook would do that for us. He's such a big fan of this show. What a nice guy.
Then he says, if the ad is hilarious, what does that say about the rest? True talk right there.
Wow.
If for some reason you don't like the cult cast, you're probably weird and like getting kicked in the junk regularly. That's true.
And we'd be happy to oblige you on that. Just bring your iTunes, your low iTunes review to Buster. What's your address? we'll put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Well, hey, guys, that's all the time we have for this week. That's all the cult cast we have for you. But I want to thank everyone for tuning in. I want to thank everyone for their support and leaving us those great iTunes reviews. As I said, they help us a ton, and we really appreciate you listening. And I just love the little cult cast community that we've built. So we love that you guys are willing to do that for us. I want to thank DigiDNA.net for sponsoring the show. Hey, go grab yourself a copy of Disc Aid 6 and give it a shot. You can download it for free, use its basic features for free, and then if you like, you can buy a license to its more advanced features for and get 30% off. Just use the code THECULTCAST at checkout. And hey, join us on Twitter, won't you? I'm at Erfon, E-R-F-O-N, Alex E. Heath, Buster's B-S-T-3-R. And of course, for all the best news, reviews, and how-tos in the world of Apple, follow Cult of Mac on Twitter. This has been the CultCast, the best 30-minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the CultCast come out every Thursday night. Thanks for listening. We will see you boys next time.
Nice.
Gosh, sometimes I'm saying that so fast, I'm like, I know I'm going
to
trip here.
I don't know how you do it. I was trying to read that review fast, and it's like I'm bumping it everywhere, and I'm feeling so self-conscious.
'Rfan,
what?
I think it's time for a dramatic reading of a cult cast review by Christopher Walken.
Please. Oh, is he there?
Yeah, he's here.
Oh my gosh. Would you, Mr. Walken?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I'm so honored that you would read this cult cast review. Just go ahead and begin whenever you're ready.
Let's go. And now, a 5-star rating. This is one of the only tech podcasts that gets me laughing. Oh. Yeah. Some parts I wouldn't play with my kids in the car, but that's why I listen to it after I've dropped them off at daycare. Keep it up, guys. And if you can't, try Dick Said 6.
What? Dick Said 6.
And this
what
is
up is that?
And now another 5-star review called I Owe It All to You. Because of you, I have given up drugs, alcohol, smoking, gang life, bullying, and eating GMO products.
Oh, my gosh.
I have something to look forward to each week, and life has new meaning. This is the best cult I've ever joined. When do we serve the punch?
Those are so nice. Thank you, Mr. Walken.
Oh.
I like how when you thank him for things, he just makes that sound. It's like... He doesn't even bother saying you're welcome.